Okay, I gotta tell y'all something real quick. Everything that I've done up to this point as far as slimming down has been diet and, you know, way of life and everything like that. I haven't really necessarily been working out. I haven't worked out for a while. While doing the pilot, I did a little bit of yoga, but not a lot. I haven't worked out, I'd say, in about a month and a half.
Okay.
I worked out all last week.
How'd it go?
When I tell you pain...
That's what I'm talking about.
But it's good pain.
No, this shit is like the type of pain where you're like, I don't know if I want to work out again pain. Like, I can't straighten my arms. My arms are stuck like
that. Well, you don't want to go from 0 to 1,000, bro.
I went from 0 to 100 like a freaking idiot.
And that's now, not Raiden, by the way. He hurt himself working out. He's got like a totally messed up shoulder from pushing too hard.
Oh, Let me tell you something right now.
Hey, poor guy.
You gotta take it slow, baby.
It does not feel good at all. I thought I was taking it slow. Apparently, I needed to go slower.
Did you see the thirsty pictures I sent you?
Dude, my wife was like, "What's he trying to say? Is he trying to fuck you or something? Why is he
sending you the pictures?"
What? Well, you want to put them on Instagram because they would be too thirsty.
I think you should put them up there, man. Well,
I sent them to my girl, obviously, but I also want to show off to my friend what's happening. So I sent them to you, and you were like, okay.
This motherfucker looks like, I'm not going to say The Rock. But
no,
he
not
looks
the Rock.
Like
Rock Jr. A pebble.
Yeah, he looks like a pebble. He looks like the pebble. Dude, he is ripped. That's funny. Dude, don't skip leg day, though.
I know.
Don't skip them legs.
But I hate when people, you show them a good picture and they look for something to criticize. Yeah, I don't have big legs yet. So that's your critique. I'm getting big and you're like, don't skip leg day.
I'm just saying, keep the symmetry, man, because you got good symmetry right now.
No, I know. I agree. I'm the standard guy who always is more interested in his upper body, and then you look uneven, and I'm gonna get them legs.
Don't forget, man, because you've always had good symmetry. Keep it going.
Thank you. And I'm about to wrap my movie, so I'm gonna keep going because I'm really inspired. Wow. I'm feeling good about being in shape and my new diet. I'm gonna keep it going.
Right on.
Yay!
I'm not gonna lie to you guys.
Congratulations.
I ate cheese.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
There's a lot worse things to eat, but...
I'm just saying, I had some cheese the other night. The pizza came, and I ate some cheese, and I was like...
I eat cheese. I haven't Tasted gone full good. Vegan. I still eat some cheese. Maybe one day I'll be full badass vegan, but right now...
Vegan cheese don't taste good. That's the only thing.
Should we invite William in? Is he here?
Yes.
Oh, so everybody, exciting news. We have your favorite guest, Bill Lawrence, back on the podcast.
Hey.
And everybody loves Uncle Bill. And and let's bring him in because we always bring in Bill early because he's the rare guest that gets the pre-theme song attention.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Bill Lawrence. Hey.
There he is. America's most successful showrunner. There he is.
Where are you, bro?
Bill, in the time we just clapped for you to join the show, how many shows have you sold in that brief time?
I like it. Hey, you can't let me be Sarah Chalk, man. I got to start my recording.
Okay, don't be Sarah Chalk. By the way, Sarah Chalk, great news. Her show got a second season.
Firefly Lane coming back for season 2.
And we love Sarah Chalk, and we're so happy about that because she not only loves the show and loves doing it and loves all the fan love for it, but she really wants to live in Canada and just happens to be a show that shoots in Canada, and so it's so win-win for her.
In Vancouver is what I heard,
Van
too.
Groovy. I think the kids call it Van Groovy.
Van Groovy, that's what they say. Oh, by the way, I'm also supposed to report. By the way, I miss you all so much. Joel, Daniel, Donald.
It's so good to have you back, Bill.
Miss you, buddy.
This is the Family Feud crew right here.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, when does it air, Joel? I'm so excited for
They sent it to me, and I forgot.
Yeah, June 13th. June
13th.
Coming up fast.
And what?
2 weeks. We're not, 2 weeks.
We're not calendars. Allowed,
not next Sunday.
You don't want to say what happened, though, right?
No. But guys, please mark your calendars right now. You're on your phone or you're at your computer. June 13th, Family Feud. And this is the dream team right here.
Tune in to see. It was so embarrassing for us just as a group. But I think people will like that. I think people will like seeing that.
I think, and there's some amazing stills, Bill, I'll send you. They sent me some stills to approve. And did you look at them, Donald, or did any of you look at them?
Yeah, I looked at them. I was hilarious. I don't care. Just post them.
No, they were sending them to see if we approved them, but I didn't care about approving them. I thought they were all amazing.
Yeah, I was like, just go. Yeah.
I was like, these are stills of us on Family Feud. This is amazing. I want all of them.
I got a lot of love to pass out too. I'm told to tell Donald Faison from Brett Goldstein, who's a writer and plays Roy on Ted Lasso, that a movie called The Wave was very good. He just watched Donald and Justin Long. And Zach, I thought your episode of Solos was really, really good. It was cool.
Thank you. I wonder if any of these three watched. Did you guys?
Oh shit! I really meant to.
Oh my god, Bill,
dude, I'm so sorry.
I did watch all of Ted Lasso.
That's all that matters.
I finally watched Ted Lasso.
I've seen all of Ted Lasso.
Bill, you don't.
And
Bill,
that second episode was spectacular.
Bill, you don't have this experience because people love your shit, but I make something, and three of my best friends here don't watch it.
Yeah, but in their defense,
it is 30 minutes.
Yeah, but you. I think, and rightfully so, because I do it to you. You often, I would say, text me or inform me a lot to remind me that I haven't watched it yet. You probably don't do that to them.
I do.
Do you?
He has texted us.
I have people tagged in Instagram DMs.
I have people in my DMs that write, "Zach, that was amazing. I can't believe you're. I'm crying my eyes out. I can't believe your friends won't watch it."
I think I'm asking them to watch a
maudlin documentary series.
I was texting Donald and Joel about it, and Joel's like, "I don't think I can get there on this one. I don't think I can do it." I'm like, "Why?
Wow, Bill."
Anyway,
I'm gonna watch it eventually. It took you some time. It took you several years to watch Remember the Titans.
I also don't believe that
too, Donald, right away, by the way. I just want you to know that. And I'll watch anything that Joelle does and Daniel does right. I'm the only person that watches everything right away.
Don't believe that it's retaliation for not watching Titans. I just think you're faking.
No, it's not retaliation. It's just that you understand why I haven't watched it yet. Shit comes up, things happen, you know. That's how
you guys know this isn't a visual thing, but Zach right now has what my wife calls sad body.
Yeah. Oh. My shoulders are so slumped. That's sad body.
You got such a bad case of sad body right now.
Well, let's switch to something you guys did watch, and that is, Bill, I just want to say I'm so happy for you. I know we've said this before, but I have to keep saying it because Ted Lasso is just everywhere. It's still, there's this little boy in my movie. He must be 8 years old, and he found out that I directed an episode, and I thought eight would be too young to love the show, but he put a Believe sign on my trailer.
That's awesome. And I'm just going to wear a Ted Lasso flag while Zach talks, not a big deal.
Oh my
God. I was about to say, Bill, you know what they're saying now? They're saying that Ted Lasso is bigger and better than Scrubs now.
No.
This is what people are telling me.
I don't like those people.
I don't like them either. They can kiss
Ted Lasso, we already know, is not going to go 8.5 seasons. So.
These things don't have to compete. None of this stuff has to.
Yes, all of Bill's achievements don't have to compete.
But I'm just saying, though. No, you thought, listen, you hit it big with Spin City, then you hit it big again with Scrubs, and then you've gotten even bigger with Ted Lasso, man. Like, this... It doesn't happen like this for most people. There's a hit, and then everything after is like, oh, it was good, but it wasn't
hear about his new thing that isn't even announced yet, right?
I can't talk about
I'm
my new thing.
I'm not going to mention it.
I'll announce it on here when it's official. When it's official,
when's that going to get announced, Bill? Because I want the exclusive on this podcast.
Probably in the next week or two, and then I'll come on and tell you guys about it. It'll be fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we love you, Bill, and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, guys. I really,
you're everywhere. And all these articles, I don't want to jinx you, but I'm not superstitious. All these articles are like, Lasso's going to sweep the Emmys. So I hope you do.
You know what's weird, though? Mm-hmm. So they're trying to have us do promotional stuff for all that. You guys both had to do that a lot before. And the show is so the antithesis of that. Like, so it's really hard because like the whole premise of the show is you don't care about winning and losing. It's how you play the game and, you know, how you treat each other. So it all feels disingenuous. But I promise not. Zach always gives me shit, you guys, if I pretend not to care, because I'm good at pretending not to care.
Yeah.
I promise not to care.
Bill is genius at many things, but acting is not his best thing.
And I'm an amazing actor.
When he acts like he doesn't give a fuck about awards, it really shows through. Yeah. Now, what about merch, Bill? Because everyone, including this little boy, want jerseys and stuff.
It took me forever, but this is like the first place I get to say about that.
Good. Yeah, we like exclusive content.
I think there's initial stuff that it'll come out and be available right when the, hopefully right when the trailer comes out, which is in a few
the
weeks.
The trailer already come out?
The no, the official trailer for season two comes out in like 3 weeks. Okay. And then, and then all the cool like name kits and like with the like official, you know, Premier League type kits come out in September. But there'll be stuff
available. Don't be surprised if club teams all of a sudden start having jerseys and stuff like that, that replicate.
There's already so much merch on Etsy and out
there. I know, by the way, this is what happened. I wanted to make this little boy's day and I went on and I knew that you guys didn't have merch yet. And I went and like Etsy's just covered with it, but that's non-official. So what I did was even though he's 8, I gave him the sweatshirt that you had given me because I was like, I love this little boy. He's so sweet. And he's like, and I just wanted to make his day.
Can I get his name? He should probably send me like $50. It's not a big deal.
Bill, I love you.
Zach, you have sad body. I'm joking around. Of course, I'm glad you gave it to him. That's super cool.
I'll put my shoulders back. Right. I'm sad that Donald, Joel, and Daniel didn't watch Solos. But okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. It's all right. You have other things to do.
I have a great thematic thing for this episode that I'm going to talk to you guys about when you get gone. But I wanted to know how's everybody's lives going. I've missed you all. It's very good to see you all. I was just thinking of Donald yesterday because I golfed for the first time in like 8 months yesterday.
Holy cow. Congratulations on that one.
Me as a golfer, Bill. You're a tennis guy.
Bill does everything.
They just reopened, you know, the VA over in Westwood, the veterans thing. They have an unbelievably beautiful 9-hole course that no one goes to in the veterans area there. It was really cool. I went there with
my brother Dade plays that all the time with his buddies.
It's a little putt and putt thing, but it's fun. Yeah.
He loves it.
It's beautiful. You've graduated to real courses. You're the real deal now. And I see your videos and stuff, man.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. If asking about my life, it's like a roller coaster right now, man.
Are you allowed to talk about what happened or no?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole world knows about it.
Well, I know. This was the craziest thing. Talk about it.
Yeah, sure. Why not? So the day that shows are announced, I get a call at like 10:45, and it's my agent, and he's like, "Yo, give me a call as soon as you get this." And I'm like, "Oh shit, it didn't get picked up." Like that's the when your whole team doesn't call you. You know right away it didn't get picked up.
Yeah, they only want to all be on the call when it's good news.
Right. And so I call him and he's like, "So look, the show didn't get picked up and it's being reworked." And immediately I was like, "Oh, did I get recast?" And he was like, "No, you didn't recast." And I was like, "All right, great, cool, great news."
Dude, you're so heartless.
Well, Bill, you can give him a pep talk because this shit happens all the time.
All the time. By the way,
it's a very good sign. I mean, Bill, I mean, you know better than me, but isn't it an extraordinary sign that they want to reinvest another like whack at it?
9,000 shows have this success story of getting kind of replatformed and reimagined. They're currently, it's already picked up making How I Met Your Father for the second time. And this one's going right on to streaming. And they made the first
same
one.
Same thing happened at Game of Thrones.
Yeah, same thing at Game of Thrones.
Yeah, they reshot the whole Game of Thrones.
There's an original Game of Thrones out there with completely different people in it.
Yeah.
There's a Scrubs out there with, by the way, no, there's not.
Breckenmeyer
and Brule Hill and fucking Scrubs and just doing it.
They went on to do good things anyway.
That's why we use their name because they both still had great careers.
There you go.
It's really interesting though because we put a lot of work into it and it was, and genuinely thought that, you know, the network would love it. And at the end of the day, they love the characters and they love the formula idea.
And they love the cast. They're not changing the cast.
Yeah. But something was missing, they said, and they wanted to, and they want to rework it, which is
great.
Well,
there's no better thing. Like when you think about it, if you go remake Game of Thrones, you've learned so much from a test audience and from just your own eyes. Go, here's what works. Here's what doesn't work. Now we can, I mean, it's such a rare position to be in to go make something with so much new information. And so I'm sure they tested your thing and said, this doesn't work, this does work. Obviously, they love the cast. Let's keep the cast. And they're going to go into production with so much new information. I think it's a blessing in disguise.
Absolutely.
Also, remember that it's an imperfect business. What if you thought you guys made the first one with great care and all that? You don't know that it wasn't great. It's just so weird because no one can tell, you know, and I don't mean this to be vindictive or anything, is like, but it's out there too. Like one of the stories of Ted Lasso is Jason Sudeikis and I went to every streaming site, and it wasn't a bidding war. No one bought it except Apple. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not doing it now to go like, ha ha, you know, but it's, and people wanted to like it and they're nice people. And I know people at different companies and they still is pass. And you know, it's just kind of hard because you're asking people to roll the dice on guessing how people are going to react to something. And that's kind of an inexact science. You know?
There's a reason why Breaking Bad's on AMC, because every other place passed.
Yeah. So, you know, it's part of the game. That's the weirdest part is, by the way, we could all watch the original Game of Thrones and go, this is awesome. But right. Who knows?
Well, we talk about that a little bit on the Black Side when it does come out. But we talk about how, you know, Rogue One and Solo are two, not your Solo, Zach, but Solo and Rogue One are two.
Does that mean you're going to watch it now that you said my title?
Okay. Yes.
Don, do you think we should use Donald our connections to Chris and Phil to get to see all the scenes that they directed of Solo before they were?
There's a whole movie, apparently.
They directed
movie.
A lot.
Yeah. I would love to see probably amazing. This movie.
I bet you it's funny and snarky and you know those guys, man. I bet you it's a different tone than we're used to in that world.
Bill, you're buddies with them. You probably could get access to say, hey, guys, let's get super baked and watch.
They got mad at me once and I think lovingly mad. We had to do a Clone High panel for something because we all still love that show. And they are so lovely and diplomatic because there's a time when everybody was immediately going like, what happened with Solo? How do you feel about Solo? And just because I love them, not because I was trying to be mean, but I'm like, I hope the new Solo is awful, and I hope it absolutely shits the bed, and I hope everybody says, I wish Chris and Phil's version was out, because that's what I think. And then they were like, dude, you just kept this thing going in a way that we just wanted to go away.
Oh, no.
Yeah, think about them. I mean, think about that. I mean, what that must have, I mean, not that obviously they don't have any trouble with self-esteem, I imagine, but think about what that must have felt like to them. Like, you're directing the biggest franchise in the world and you get replaced.
But here's the thing. You know what came after they got replaced by Solo?
What?
Spider-Verse, baby.
One of the dopest superhero movies in the history of superhero movies.
Yeah, man, so good.
You know what I mean? Like,
your favorite, right? One of your favorites.
That's my favorite Spider-Man movie.
That's one of my favorite superhero movies, that and Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. I hear are they making a black Superman movie?
There's early talks of it, but I don't think anything's been confirmed.
There are two black Supermen.
I think we need to start doing your audition tape.
His name is Michael B. Jordan, dude. Come on,
buddy. Is that what it's going to be?
It's going to, come on. If it's going to be anybody.
That's my favorite. Come on, buddy.
If it's going to be anybody before me, it's going to be Michael B. Jordan.
Saying, if you come over to my garden, we can dress you up and do audition videos.
I'll
rig up cables to make you fly.
Really?
By the way,
I don't need to audition. Listen, let's just do it for fun.
Michael B. Jordan's tape isn't going to have him rig the cables.
If the three of us, you know that this week could make people just, I will work my butt off writing and funding a super. I'll write and fund a Superman scene. I don't even know it exists.
Right.
Mac will direct it. We'll use good effects, and we'll
let's
say,
"Let's do
this shit.
Let's just do it for
this
fun."
This is Donald's audition from a movie that may not exist.
Now that we have Bill's budget, we can go huge with it.
We can go crazy huge with it.
It reminds me of a funny Bill story, right? So Amanda Klutz's little boy Elvis, Nick and Amanda's little boy Elvis, is obsessed, like many boys, where I believe your son was too, Donald, with trash trucks.
Yes.
And everyone that we all love this little boy, so we're all buying him trash trucks, and the trash truck toys keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Everyone's trying to out trash truck, and of course, because I guess this is a little boy thing. There's a zillion trash truck toys. And Bill's over and the kid's over and he's playing with the trash truck. And I'm like, this is my entry into the contest. And Bill takes one look and he turns to Amanda and he goes, I'm going to buy him an actual trash truck.
That kid's life, he would be so happy if that happened too.
That's
he would just sit in
kid,
it. And
man.
Dude, that boy
such
is beautiful.
Amanda says that when they hear the beeping noises of the trash trucks, his face lights up and he sprints to the door to go watch them do their thing. But yeah. I remember Rocco had like a trash truck birthday gig, right, Donald?
Yeah, he loved trash trucks, and for a really long time, we had to buy him little tiny trash cans, and they couldn't be the same color. There had to be like a blue, a green, and a black one. to represent, you know,
recycling trash, trash
all of that stuff, right? And he would walk around, and so the trash truck that he had, the lifter broke, so we had to buy him tongs so he could pretend he was lifting the trash truck and dumping the trash in.
Very
for Christmas, his grandmother, my mother, bought him a bunch of shredded paper from her office, like it was like a bunch of shredded sides. And he took that thing in my house for like at least 2 weeks until Casey was like, enough with the motherfucking trash. Was littered with shredded paper all over the place.
It's all good.
It was all good, but Casey wasn't having it at the end. But it was such a, like, the love of trash trucks that kids have, it's amazing. It's,
I know. You know, Amanda was telling me that in the trash truck cab, the drivers have all these drawings from children because they love trash trucks so much. It's so sweet.
They can't help it. It's like one of the coolest things ever to them. And I was, we were like, wow, Rocco really loves this. He's taking a really long time in this phase. And they were like, and somebody said to us, it's because he's trying to figure out how they work. How does the arm work? What's that sound for? Why does it beep when it's backing up? How come he can hear it all the way from down the block? You know what I mean?
You go over Amanda's house. This dude has his legs up on the coffee table with his little snack watching YouTube videos of trash trucks.
Yeah, that was Rocco. That was Rocco. And we would have to put on like the hour and a half version of it. And all it is a trash
can. She wants to show him. She wants to show him I'm fucking a normal kid show. And he just wants to watch videos of trash trucks all around the world.
Right, and it has to be specific ones, too.
Yeah, like, the arm. I mean, the arm, obviously, is the cool part. You don't want a bullshit one.
Right.
All right, Bill, we do not want you to count us in. We're begging you not to count us in.
Don't you do it, Bill.
Don't
I
you dare
do it.
Don't
I
you
want to do it. I want to do it. Can I do it for you? 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's the stories that you all should know.
Bonnie Sykowitz, Bill. She wrote this episode.
Bonnie Sykowitz is a young comedy writer married to Mike Sykowitz, who I wrote with on Friends. And she wrote on for Gary Goldberg for a good period of time. And so I'd known her for a while.
So how does that work? Just explain to people not in the business that occasionally a writer outside the normal writer's room will write a script. What's that about?
Back in the old days with network shows, especially when there'd be 22 to like 26 episodes, you would sometimes assign a couple freelance scripts out because there are ways for writers that kind of, you know, were still, you know, kind of trying to find their way onto a staff to make some money and find an in into the guild and to health insurance and to all that stuff. And it, you know, is the equivalent.
And you said
of that.
The old days, is that not a thing anymore?
Yeah. Nowadays it's almost the same price to have a staff writer. You know what, they changed the system a little bit. So that, like, when you see a staff writer on a show, they don't get paid for the scripts, even if they write one, staff writers. And so I think the guild was trying to create a situation that it was almost the same price to have a staff writer for 6 or 8 weeks. So they get the experience of being on a staff as it was to give someone a freelance script.
Got it. Well, I never knew that. And I believe this is Victor Nelly's first episode. Do you know if that's true or not?
You should check it out, but he became a regular on this. He's a good dude.
Well, you looked that up for me. He's a very good dude and he's a very good director. And
I don't think it was his first episode. I think his first episode was the one where we're at the funeral. And George,
no, not the famous funeral.
George Wallace funeral.
George Wallace
imagining someone's funeral, and you imagine yourself being dead, fooling everybody so that you could. George Wallace liked to party all the time. It's you imagining your funeral.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Joel,
that was a Victor Nelly episode. I think that was his first one.
For those of you, this is 4:22, and we're flashing back to the moment where Carla and I kissed. Now, in rewatching the kiss, it you do see that lips are parted. Lips are definitely
parted.
Dude,
it doesn't look innocent at all
to
me, bro.
The lips are not pursed, bro.
It does not look innocent at all to me.
You guys are drinking. It's not a big deal.
No, it's like a Zapruder tape. You're like, okay, let me look. Oh, no, the lips
are
parted.
And right afterwards, you say it was an accident, and she's giggling, and you're both supposed to be hammered. You seem to enjoy it too much as actual actor, actress, though. I mean, the real people. I feel like the real JD and the real Judy enjoyed it.
Listen, I got to say, we talked about this last week, and I was very upset watching it because I was like, I would never – this is Victor's first directing episode.
Okay. Nailed it.
My bad.
So Bill and I, Bill, you weren't here last week, but Donald and I were very upset watching this kiss because it just felt wrong, even this many years later. But no, it, as you rewatch it, it wasn't just a pursed lip kiss. There was there were open lips. There was no tongue, but the lips were
open. But
it
I
was
also
like
feel
a lip
that,
sandwich, layers of a lip sandwich.
Look, it's soap opera-y. It's a metaphor for I feel this where this episode comes in time. And where your podcast is right now is just so interesting because it's like the halfway point. Do you know what I mean? For this show. And on the one hand, we knew what we were doing and there's a lot of funny stuff. On the other hand, you know, I felt like this is right where the show was teetering a little bit. We could have easily gotten tired. You know what I mean? Because we had done almost 80 something episodes of the show by now, you know,
coming up on 100.
Yeah, exactly. And that, but instead, I felt like everybody kind of reinvigorated themselves the fifth season and went absolutely bat nuts crazy. Yeah. So it's a lot of pressure.
Fifth season is a very good one. I remember.
But it's a lot of pressure. Don't you guys feel the pressure on your podcast right now in terms of if you go along, there's, you know, this is what's so interesting when you used to do shows for 9 years, you reach a point that you know how to do it, you're doing it well and people enjoy it. But it's very easy to get overly comfortable and complacent, right? And so then you have to go, do we either mix it up or do we reinvigorate?
Yeah, well, we're trying to do that in a sense because we also love, the four of us love doing it so much. And we see, obviously, there's a end to it. And we go, well, that's why we've been folding in some interviews here and there because we all kind of want to find a way to keep doing it. We jokingly say we're going to do a rewatch podcast of another show, but...
I think you should do a re-listen podcast of the original podcast. I think you should go back. I think you should re-listen to this and then evaluate each episode and where you guys are strong and weak.
I don't know. I think we have fun when we really, I mean, I know it's sort of everyone's doing it, but we really do like enjoy interviewing people that are super interesting. And maybe we'll do our own version of that. I don't know. To be determined. We don't have to think about it for four more seasons. So
I also think I would love watching you guys do a rewatch podcast of a show that neither of you were on in case you had differing opinions and stuff like that.
My joke was, I said, let's rewatch The Office because there's already been a rewatch podcast. But Donald doesn't want to do that. And
I
want to
do a different world, man, or something like that. That would be such a good...
Or are you going to a drama? It'd be tough to go into a drama for
you. It's hard to do the... Well, I mean, I could joke about dramas all day long because some of them are like nuts.
No, I think it's the obvious thing is it has to be a show with an overlapping fan base to Scrubs, like Community or something where it's the people that listen to this and love Scrubs... you know, feel the same way about another show, and we, you know, then they all stay tuned. That seems logical.
We should do short-lived shows, so each season is like we should do like Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
That show
was
good. That show was good.
Yeah, shows that were really good.
Or we could do classic comedies we grew up with, like, you know, Eddie Murphy movies of the '80s. You know,
oh my gosh, I could talk about Eddie Murphy all day long. You know that, buddy.
All right, well, let's keep going. So Krista
in lingerie.
Holy shit. I wrote down the words Lucky Man Bill.
I wrote down Between Your Bosoms, Ma'am. It made me happy.
She looks fantastic, Bill.
I think my wife has an amazing body, but I don't know if I would show it off to everyone.
Yes, you'd be proud of that.
Well, there was that one time. You're right about
that.
First
of all, your wife is on...
Yeah, your wife's a smoke show, dude.
Yeah. Your wife is very sexy, and I think you'd be proud to see.
There was that one time. I do remember, but I was shit faced drunk, and there was that one time. But yes.
Krista, to give Krista props, she's so she's so game for anything, man, and her willingness to poke fun at herself in this thing really made me laugh and smile.
But the crazy thing is, she doesn't look old at all.
I know she looks hot.
She
as
looks
hell.
Hot as balls. That dude's That dude's gay. That's why he didn't.
What's funny is, I assume he's supposed to be like the son of the next door neighbor, but it looks like he lives there alone for some reason.
So yeah, he's over there. The college kid.
He's
a party.
Like Tom Hanks in Big. Why does this child live across the hall from them? But anyway, he calls her ma'am, which spirals her out because she does not like being called ma'am.
You know what I liked in the very next scene? And you guys got to tell me if you remember, because you have better memories about this being on set. I think this is one of the last times that Ken Jenkins did his own stunt and he does his own fall. And I thought he was
awesome.
Two of them.
Two. And they're big.
Yeah.
And he really, did what I do. He does the what I do at a much younger age, which was hurl. I mean, you have a mat, but you're still hurling yourself into the air and landing on your back. And he went for it.
He really did. I really like the next line, too, because then the janitor says, well, I've got you here, sir, right after.
So the janitor is waxing the floors, and then when because he wants a new uniform, he's tight, and he has drawings of the uniforms. I don't know if you guys noticed a weird – this is just for you film geeks. There's like a – there's a weird focus thing on when the janitor's presenting his uniform ideas. Did you notice that at all?
I didn't.
Focus is on Ken's ear, not the janitor.
I didn't notice it. I just liked – we did this a lot writing-wise on this show, and I can give you guys other examples. At one point, we were going to show all the pictures he drew.
Right.
And then we're like, it's funnier if we don't show them, and people are just wondering what the outfits he drew. And we told Neil to make stuff up. Because one of them was, that's just a kangaroo. Sometimes I draw kangaroos.
Well, yeah, so the janitor really wants to
Wait, we're skipping one other joke. Ken on the ground at the as this.
And oh, it was the sign.
Sign. Yeah, it was the same thing of the sign. It kind of reminded me of when Scott Harris fell, and they put the white tape around where he fell, and it stayed there for like, it stayed there for like, 8 seasons.
Scott Harris, for the audience, was one of our assistant directors, and I guess he fell, and then the grips outlined his body like he had been murdered with white tape.
Yeah, I think he broke something too, or he messed up his leg.
Oh, no.
He had a concussion. Yo, okay, so the first time, this is one of the best, like, this is one of the, he's one of my good friends, and so I can clown him a little bit, and he won't get upset about this.
Mm-hmm.
Season two, we're doing a basketball scene. And we're shooting around, and Bill would come to set whenever we did basketball scenes and play around and play ball. And, you know, we'd let the extras play and everything like that. And we'd always, you know, but then it got time to where we had to shoot. And I was dunking because we lowered the rim a little bit, and I'm dunking. And Scott said something stupid to me, something like, if it were higher, you couldn't do that. And I said something like, you couldn't do that right now. And I passed him the ball.
Oh,
and
no.
He made the face like, I got this. And he dribbled and went 1, 2, and blew his knee out.
You see, he had surgery like 3 days later. Yeah.
Yeah. Out for the rest of the season. For the rest of the season. Oh. Done.
He didn't work on the show?
For the whole season, yeah, he was out.
Oh, how's your leg, Zach? You got chomped on. How's your leg?
I got bit by a Rottweiler.
My God.
What?
Let everybody know.
I'm fine. It was a stunt with the dog, and the dog was trained to pull a throw blanket off of me. And it's not the dog's fault. The dog was a beautiful dog and well trained. But the joke is that I'm wrestling with the throw with the dog, and the blanket got pulled too close to my arm, and the dog just chomped down on my thigh.
Oh, by the way, Zach sent me screenshots of it, and it is.
You want to see?
It's good and gross.
Yes.
Well, you got to see my boxers. I'm sorry.
Okay, it's okay. It's okay.
Don't die, dude.
How do I show you this?
What? That's just. Oh my God. You're
gonna get it. What is it? Ready? Oh, look at the dogs.
Oh, my God.
The dog bit in. Chomp. Look at that bruise, too.
Jesus.
Oh, my God. That's a chomp.
You would think getting bit by a Rottweiler hurts.
Right? Oh, fuck. I'm so sorry that happened. I'm glad you're okay.
I had to immediately be like, because the kids were there, and I didn't want the kids to be scared, because, again, it wasn't the dog's fault, and it's, you know, it was basically a stunt gone awry, and shit happens. But I was, like, holding it together, and I was like, I need a quick break. And then they got all the kids out of the room, and I'm like,
Oh, no.
Is the dog
I didn't
still
really
in the movie?
Cry, but I wanted to cry. I was crying on my inside. What?
Does the dog have more scenes in the movie or no?
The dog had a scene the next day, and I was like, it was like I was mad at it. We looked at each other and then looked away from each other. No, again, it wasn't.
Interrupting Bill.
Wait, what?
Interrupting Bill while Bill's on the show. Bill's still interrupting.
Hey,
interrupting Bill. Quick question. Did Zach talk about getting bitten by a Rottweiler today?
Yeah, but only a little bit. Not a ton. He was sad about it.
Okay.
Other stuff.
Follow up question.
Are you answering? I'm Bill's answering.
Did he bring it up on his own? Or Bill, this is for you. Did you have to prompt him about it to set up this joke?
I had to. I was surprised, but I had to actually ask him about it. because
I thought he would have to, that makes sense, actually, because it's probably pretty painful. All right. Yeah. Zach, Donald, love the show. Bill, you're killing it.
Thanks, man.
Oh, my God. You are so ridiculous. I love that you ended your own interruption by a compliment of yourself.
That was the best thing ever. Oh, that was so funny.
Oh, my God. You are so ridiculous. Oh, my God. All right. Should we go to break on that? No, let's go to break. We'll be right back. And we're back.
We've lost Donald.
It's still funny, dude. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. You're ridiculous. All right. We're back. We're back. We're back.
Yeah, we're back. We're back. Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying. He's mixing it up a little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why you get paid the big bucks. You're funny as shit.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I got bit by a Rottweiler, but I'm okay. And hey, I can cross it off my bucket list. Bit by Rottweiler.
Yes.
Oh man,
that's fun.
So Jordan decides to Botox her face, and Krista did a very funny job. Like literally, the only things that it doesn't even her lips don't even move. It's just her teeth. She's like.
Can I ask you guys a question, by the way, about this you two, because it's Krista. When I said before that she's game for all this stuff, when I asked her to do it. She's like, you know that what happens to all women on all shows is whether it's true or not, is true a little, is not true a lot, whatever it is, your main internet traffic, once you hit 40 is work done. Picture of her face here. Look at her cheeks here.
Yeah.
And do you guys get that as guys? Do people do it to men ever?
No, they just say old. They just tell us.
Yeah, no, that's true. They just did it to Zac Efron.
That's true.
He clearly did something.
Something
happened to him. I mean, come on.
I don't know what it was, but something happened there.
I mean, but no offense.
It's so interesting.
If he loves it, he loves it. To each of their own. Hey, but no, Donald and I, I just shake my head at this point. But whenever I post a picture of myself, someone will be like, oh, you got old. It's so sad. Or Donald gets tired. They say he's tired.
I'm tired all the time. But that was when I was smoking a crap ton of weed. So.
Yeah, you do. Your skin.
So you're probably a little sleepy. Yeah.
Because he stopped smoking so much. I stopped smoking, period, dude.
Did you really?
Yeah, I don't smoke weed right now, and I don't drink right now. I've had a couple of drinks here and there, but like for the most part, I'm a sober man.
I'm about to hit 4 months, no booze.
My daughter said she is California sober, which I did not know, but apparently amongst the kids means weed only.
Really?
No booze.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Oh my God! Imagine doing that at 20 years old. That's very advanced. Good for her.
She just said that she's like it made me happy because you know it's always scary to think. I mean, any of your kids out there drinking, you know. She said, anytime I drink, I feel shitty the next day. I just want to go home and go to bed. And why bother?
Wow, that's very, 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 very mature at 20 years old because I was. The opposite, but I feel pumped, dude. I love the mornings now. I never thought I'd be a morning person.
So this is just a disclaimer out there for all of you listening. We're not telling you that you need to be sober.
Oh yeah,
or
we have to say this, or people fill our Instagram with like, "Don't tell me what to do." We don't give a fuck what you do. Do whatever
you are. Do
everybody
you?
That likes this podcast needs to stop drinking.
No, shut up. That's what,
is that the point we're making?
No,
the point.
Go pound your white claw. I do have to say, though.
your white claw.
Yeah, go have your hot girl summer and pound your white claw.
You know what I've done as an old guy? I just cut it down to 2 days a week tops. You know what I mean? Yeah. And never having the silly couple of drinks that go nowhere and just make you feel like shit the next day. That's my big thing.
It definitely is in my 40s thing. I noticed that I'm just less tired with, you know, and I'm not like full on, like I'm sure this summer I'm going to have some drinks. I just mean that like I noticeably feel better without drinking every day or every other day. Anyway, back to the show, right, guys? Let's talk about how JD says, I can't use lip balm. I always end up eating it. When I was little, I used to spread it on crackers.
That is disgusting. Gross.
I don't know where the hell you came up with that, William. But
dude, there's a lot of funny jokes in this, man.
When
I go, you kissed my wife, you know what that was inspired by?
No.
You shit on my house. Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
So the way I say you kissed my wife is very similar to how
Ronald Miller's best friend. And you fucked my wife?
No. That's a different cadence right there.
Okay. Sorry.
I liked that Donald was able, that Turk was able to tell JD to sit on the floor calmly in anger, and JD just does sit on the floor.
I know, it's such a weird punishment.
Sit on the floor.
Now, when the girls kissed did you cut away from that on purpose, Bill? Because you didn't show it.
Yeah, we cut away on purpose.
It was disappointing to everyone across the world.
Did you have to cut away? Was it like a censor thing?
No. Look, it was what I said before. It's like we started to become enamored with, and it also happened with Elliot and the fantasy that Scott, the sexual fantasy that guy Josh Randall has, is we always think it's funny. We got obsessed with jokes that the audience doesn't get to see and they just imagine. Like, so in this one, it was just so you remember, it was the drawings that you don't get to see. The janitor changes off camera a number of times. I think one of them, Zach says, who gets a tattoo of a mop?
he has a secret mop tattoo.
Yeah. And then it was Judy and Elliot and Carla kissing. Yeah.
Well, so they're kissing and we don't see it. Thanks a lot, Bill. And they cut to Todd down in the cafeteria, about to eat a giant, very phallic hot dog. And he says, something wonderful is happening.
I love that he's got a giant phallic hot dog, because later when the janitor says, and that's supposedly straight surgeon.
Right. So the janitor has waxed everything. No matter where Kelso goes, he waxed the counter. That was funny. Kelso's
and the phone.
And the phone. That was really funny. Victor did a good job of shooting some of these sight gags. I laughed. And then yeah, by the way, I watched Girls 5 Eva. Have you seen any of it? It's very Scrubs-esque. Funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
And John Inwood shooting it, our cinematographer who shot our whole show.
Oh, he became a good director. Go ahead, Donald.
Deontay kisses Johnny's hand.
Yeah, that's what makes me laugh so hard.
That was Deontay? I didn't notice it.
That was Deontay.
Sarah
yeah.
says, you have a God complex. He's like, no, I don't. Kiss my ring. Dante just casually kisses his ring and keeps moving.
I didn't recognize him without his puka shell choker, but must have been him. So the janitor, we learn, has a tattoo of a mop, as Bill said. And what about that fantasy the Turk has where I start making out with Judy and I put her legs up? I put
the leg up.
Oh, my word.
I'm watching this.
As performers are having too much fun. I want to hear Donald's take on it, but I don't think it's said in the script that he puts her leg over his shoulder.
No, that's BS.
Well, Donald had fun.
Remember when Sarah was dressed as a naughty nurse and they were making out?
That's not what we're talking about right now.
We're on something different right now. And we were joking around. Like, it felt like kissing my sister. This doesn't look like you guys felt like you were kissing. This looked like some pent up sexual energy that you had, man.
Judy is fine as hell, and I was happy to pretend to make out with her. Let's put it that way. Okay. But putting her leg up, I'm sure in the script it didn't say he then puts her leg up. But it was funny.
I did not write he then grabs her leg and puts it over his own shoulder. I didn't say that.
But it was funny, Bill. It was funny. What about, yeah, so then Todd goes, that color really brings out your package with the janitor's new uniform. So the janitor is all thrown out of whack because no one finds him scary in
his light
blue
scrubs. On, yeah.
It is an RIP moment, but my favorite version of it is seeing Sam Lloyd not terrified by the janitor for once.
Yes.
And
he's got his orange tie.
That's the best when he gets punched at the end. He goes, oh, I'm going home.
Yeah. Because Kelso has done the research that yellow makes people angry. And the and Sam Lloyd keeps getting punched because he's wearing a yellow tie.
Just in the same arm. I saw a moment we jumped over that reminded me how funny Sarah Chalk is. She talks about being a teen girl and that's the age that your breasts grow. And then she casually says, not always symmetrically.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Amazing. Is that really a thing? I wonder, do breasts grow asymmetrically?
Yes.
They do?
It was really, Sarah was really funny talking
about it. Did they catch up like Sarah Chalk?
Not always.
That's funny. Sarah really... is so, it was really funny in this episode.
She was, was so good at it. She boinged his curls. You know, John McGilley hated that.
Carla sucking on my fingers.
And yeah, that got, see what I'm saying? And that's
my face, but I'm in ecstasy is yeah, so funny.
I laughed really hard at that.
I've got my eyes rolled back in my head and I'm like, and my lips are moving.
Yeah, by the way, it's when it pans over to you and finds you. I did not expect that and had forgotten that joke. There's two jokes I had forgotten. I wrote down and they're both in a row. One is I had forgotten that when she was sucking your fingers, we'd reveal your eyes up in your head.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I forgot, which is right after that. The act break is Donald gets mad at you guys in the cafeteria. And when we come back, the whole cafeteria is demolished.
It's demolished.
Yeah. And Donald goes, well, obviously I overreacted.
So in the world of the show, Turk took the time to destroy the entire cafeteria.
The entire cafeteria, yes.
Everybody's gone, and Zach, you casually have a tomato slice on your forehead.
And I'm still trying to calm him down.
It's just like this.
He's destroyed the cafeteria. There's a tomato on my forehead.
Goes, I got a little out of control. No, baby, it's
no,
okay.
No,
you're fine. I mean, that must have taken 20 minutes. I mean, you really raged. You were like the Hulk. Yeah.
That really made me laugh. But again, another one of those jokes. This is the point that we would stumble onto something in the writer's room and go, this is funny. Let's try it. But it's the sixth joke in this show that happens. You don't get to see it happen. You know what I mean? Right. You just get to imagine what happened. And
what about how I tell Carla that I had sex with Turk's family housekeeper. And then she was buffing the nightstand and then she just kept on buffing.
That shit had me rolling too. That had me rolling, and then the speech in between that had me rolling, where you guys are talking about who's going to take the blame, and you're like, thank you for, you know, you tell her thank you for taking it. She goes, get out of here. All you're going to do is go, ah, and then you guys are going to be fine. And you're like, get out of here. All you're going to do is have sex with him. And if I have sex with him, he'll probably just end up even madder at me.
No, dude, it was the funny part about it was that I'm like, he'll probably, like there's anything, like there's a chance, it could go either way. If I fuck him, it could go either way. I'm leaning to him being madder.
Right. That was very funny.
No, so normally when someone has a magazine and a TV show, you folks not in the business, you not only don't get the rights to the real magazine because you don't have the rights to the pictures and everything. So they have these fake magazines. So the teenage girl in this, if you look at the magazine, all right, it says totally teen on the front, right?
Yeah.
But then on the back, there's all these faces and they're just scrambled. Like no one took the time to like, you could have bought stock art of like licensable pictures of teens. Like, but they just.
That's what I'm telling you. This is right when the show was teetering on, are we going to mail it in or are we going to.
Well, someone in the prop department, no offense, mailed that in because all they did was just scramble the teens' faces on the back of the magazine.
Johnny Props mailed it in. Is that what you're saying?
He would burst through your wall and grab you by the neck.
He'll be like Kool-Aid out of nowhere. Oh, yeah.
I love our prop department. I just think it's funny that the teen magazine wasn't the most believable prop ever made.
I will tell you guys that what I'm so appreciative of you two and everybody, because these are the episodes that when I go back and watch them, I'm like, all right, we've kind of done a story like this before and we're not breaking new ground with this stuff writing wise, but the performers are so good. It's still, you know, just talking about Donald when we come back from the break, or Zach, I bet you kept on buffing wasn't really scripted. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And and then for me right after that, because I remember this, we wrote in the script that Neil Flynn walks around with that weird camera. You know what it's called, Zach, that is on his face.
Yeah, there's different names for it, but it's actually mounted to Neil. And that was really clever. I'm assuming that was a Victor Nelly thing, right? Or is that your idea?
Yeah, but what was it like for me is the inspiring part is all it said in the script was Neil walks around reacting to people that aren't afraid of him and just watching what he was riffing as he can't, because they were all extras. They did that. Victor did that. So he explained to people that there's no way he could have done those at the same time. Victor, you know what I mean?
Right. So that what you do is that, you know, and you've seen this in certain films before, but there's a way to mount the camera to someone's body. And we had never done a look like that in four seasons of Scrubs. So it's cool. It's a testament to Bill that a director comes in and goes, hey, I have an out of the box way how to do this sequence. Are you down with it? And he's like, yeah, go for it. And it, you know, it was kind of a unique way to say, to just show the janitor's changed perspective.
And just watching him do happy birthday. All right, whatever. Yeah, why don't you keep moving? Just watching Neil react to no one is one of those inspiring moments that you guys all have in this episode.
Then it was come on, get happy. Is that what it was?
Yeah. And the only one that was scripted was stopping at Jordan, you know, because the director had to go, and Jordan, who has no expression, and then Neil just shakes it off and keeps moving.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That was well done.
But point is, you guys are all so good that when you get a show that lasts a long time, and I don't know if it'll happen anymore, it's the actors and actresses that carry it through the middle when the writers get a little punch drunk, and then hopefully they kind of get reinvigorated, which I think we really did.
Well, Bill, I got to say, you know, one thing you really set the you know, you set the table with our ability to do this, and I'm doing it on Cheaper by the Dozen now, and it's so fun. It's like we always get the words as written out of respect for all the hard work you guys put in. And then if we have an idea, we do it. Sometimes it's not nearly as funny. Sometimes you just strike gold and it's funnier. And it's such a fun way for comedic actors to work. It's so freeing. I love it.
Well, it enables you to kind of lean on each other too, especially when you're in that grind of having to do 26 episodes a year or something, you know?
This was one of those years where we did more than 22 episodes too, wasn't it?
I think so. I think so. I'd have to check, but I believe so.
I have it right here. We did 25.
Oh, that is a lot.
That's a lot of TV.
That's pretty much the whole year almost, man.
That's a lot of television.
But
plus, we're taking a week off after three to catch up writing-wise. Yeah, and sometimes
my favorite
four.
Memories of the show are when you'd come to the set and we'd rehearse and then we'd just make it better. Whether it was your joke or our joke or some funny blocking or the director's idea, just going, this was already funny and we just made it 10 times funnier. That was the most fun I ever had on Scrubs. I loved it.
I miss those things too. I still look at this stuff and I go, we could have done better. Like, you know what? It struck me in this one. We should have called back Roland, your victory dance coach.
What
because
is
he's
that?
He's so funny.
Where did that come from? I was laughing. Roland, the victory dance coach.
It's so funny. By the way, all we had to do, this is why streaming is so cool. You didn't do this in network because hopefully people like that. Hopefully he went on to do other stuff, whoever that actor was, and they aren't around your world. In a streaming version of Scrubs, Roland the victory dance coach, you would have had this one scene. And then a year later, when you did a great victory dance impromptu, as you did in the show, you would cut to, you know, just the other side and Roland would be there going like this, pumping his arm.
But do you remember what the genesis of this was? I don't even remember that actor at all.
No, but he was funny.
He was very funny. I go, thanks, Roland. One day I'll get it.
Yeah, he was just helping you out with your victory dance setup.
Don, we finally kiss.
Yeah, but it was an awkward kiss.
I think it might have been our first and only kiss. I mean, have we ever really?
No, that's the only time you and I have ever kissed.
I think our lips have never really held together.
Tips have touched.
Well,
clothes.
We've docked, but I don't think that we.
No.
Yes. We've docked, Donald.
Yeah, but but I don't think we've ever kissed.
It was also disingenuous because you said this is all it was, and that's not what it was.
No, you're right, because there was open MILF lip sandwich. There was lip, her lip.
Did you say open MILF lip sandwich?
No, she's not a
Freudian slip. It's a Freudian slip.
Well, she is now, but it was lip. You know what I mean? A lip stack, like a stack of pancakes.
That's right.
And then my last two jokes.
We should have done that on ours.
My last two jokes were, I'm going home from Sam. Just made me laugh so hard.
I laughed really hard. Yeah.
You were the last one to hit him too, Donald, weren't you?
Yeah, with the karate hit.
And by the way, he's not mad at you. He knows it's like, again. I'm going home.
Why did I write down boobies? Who says that?
Because that's where Donald slept with a stripper that time at boobies. And Donald says that was you. And you're like, yeah, but I gave her your name.
I told her my name was Kirk.
I really love the name of the strip club was Boobies.
It's the
Boobies,
worst
Boobies.
Strip club ever.
No, it'd be a great name for a strip club.
In Tampa, maybe. Yeah.
The last joke I had was the janitor talking to birds. And I didn't understand it because why isn't he trying to kill these things and stuff them?
Yeah, the only squirrels. Only squirrels.
He's only into squirrels.
My last joke is, and that is it. I didn't know if I liked it at the beginning when you were thinking about the progression of relationships. You know what I mean? I thought it was a little, because we didn't shoot it great. Remember, we had to kind of speed up and slow down when you're like, when a couple meets, couple this, couple that. Then I thought of the circus for some reason, and there's a clown in bed juggling. It was too surreal. But
I liked those, though.
I wish it was a fantasy. But I loved the callback at the end when you go to Donald, quit acting like some weird cowboy. And he goes, cowboy? you go, I don't know. It just popped into my head. And for no reason, a cowboy walks out behind you.
Bill, why is there a fully dressed cowboy in the hospital?
He probably got hurt at the rodeo, man.
By the way,
no rodeo in wherever we live.
What? When we scripted it, I think we probably thought it would be just a dude with jeans and cowboy boots and a cowboy hat, but that was a full cowboy.
That was full cowboy. He had the rope and everything.
He went full cowboy. Joelle, do we have a guest here?
Yes, we do.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be back with the guest and the Bill Lawrence. We'll be right back.
And we're back.
Now, Daniel, can you play the new song live? Because I really do like to hear it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hold on. Is there a new song?
We have a new song that intros the guests, written by our friend and supporter, Travi Wavy. And by the way, Donald, you didn't reply to my sort of rough drafts of a Casey theme song.
I like the idea of a Casey theme song. It's just
you didn't like my rough draft.
No, I thought it was fire.
You didn't reply. You didn't say, I want to lay down the vocal.
That's cool. Who's going to sing that?
It's me.
I want Donald to sing it.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I'm behind. I'm going to have Charlotte sing the interrupting Bill thing. I'm going to have Charlotte do it.
That would be so dope.
Andrew Watt produce it.
Yeah, I'll have Watt produce Charlotte doing interrupting Bill. We'll get some serious production vibes.
But wait, Joelle, will you coordinate, please, Donald singing the new track that I wrote? Travi Wavy can produce it, but that I wrote for Casey's coming to give parental advice. Okay. Bill, here is a new Travi Wavy track to introduce our guests. Go ahead.
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller.
Hey.
Smoke some jazz cabbage, maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joelle, let's get the show on the road.
Wait for it.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey!
Sax solo.
Is that trumpet? I think it's trumpet with a plunger.
With a thing on it.
Trumpet with one of those things you put on the end to look cool.
Trumpet with a toilet plunger, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I like that.
That's great, Travi Wavy. Thank you. And
let's bring in our guest.
I like how there's a subtle dig in there. It's like, and maybe talk about the episode.
I know. I noticed that.
Bring on the guests, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Michelle and Joseph.
Welcome to the show, guys. We're so happy you're here. Joelle, give us an introduction to how you chose these two lovely people.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so we had a big conversation last week.
Oh,
about...
my gosh. I knew this was going to happen.
Yes, you guys asked for it.
I knew this was going to happen.
Whoa.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure anyone was going to respond to the request of people who have slept with their partner's best friends, but our listeners... There was literally a tsunami of people being like, yo, I did it or it happened to me. And so, you know, Michelle wrote in sharing her story.
No.
And I was like, we have to get her on the podcast to talk about this.
Oh,
all right. So, Michelle. So, listen, you guys.
If this is a way to have Zach or Donald tell me that they hooked up with Krista at some point.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Only in my dreams, Bill.
Dude, you're crossing the line, Zach. You are crossing the line.
He knows I've had a few erotic dreams about Krista.
Oh, my God.
Guys. So, wait, guys, we're so glad you're here. They're reminding you, if you didn't hear last week's episode, JD and Carla hook up. They just kiss. But we were talking about, oh my gosh, it's so horrible. How could a friendship ever recover from that? And I jokingly said to Joelle, or I said on the air, I wonder if there's a couples that would come on and talk about that. And then Joelle's email got filled with people that had, oh, you got to hear my story. You got to hear my story. And she selected Michelle and Joseph. So guys, how did it happen? What went down?
Well, first, I feel honored that the email was flooded and I got picked. I guess it was my subject line, but...
I'm also honored.
By the way, man, you have such good humor about this already. It's just tip of the hat to you. Outstanding.
Okay. Michelle, how did it happen? What happened?
So, obviously, we've all been in quarantine for the past year, and his best friend was kind of in our bubble. He recently went through a divorce right as quarantine was getting started. He was really lonely. So like we scooped him up into our arms. We've known him for 10 years, like, you know, come in, you know, every week he would come over and we would just hang out. And, you know, there lots of alcohol was consumed. Everything that's happened has been sober. Let me just say that. But we just kind of realized that there was a little bit of a spark there. And my husband and I have been married for 10 years. We've known each other for 17 years. We met in high school. We have literally been the only people we've ever been with.
Do you guys grow up together? Like same town, same forever and ever and ever type of thing?
Pretty close, like a town over. Very small Midwestern town. So very Midwestern sensibilities on a lot of things.
And you guys, you just said you ran by it, but you two have only been with each other.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Well.
Okay. Continue.
Up until recently.
Good.
But
God, we should have like a Jerry Springer kind of show, Donald. It would be so much more fun.
That's what I thought I walked into here.
Wait, but this doesn't sound Jerry Springer-ish. This sounds more like the, what was the movie, The Big Chill? Was that the one where they're all hanging out in the cabin together?
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah, wonderful movie.
Okay.
Sorry, you got Donald, Zach, do you see that? I just keep moving further back.
Yeah, look how uncomfortable Bill is. Bill's getting in the bathroom soon. All right, Michelle, go on. Go ahead.
Okay.
So, I love it.
We actually met on a blind date at a high school dance and never looked back. So we've been the only ones, you know, and we are totally in love and still are.
No kids yet?
Two kids, and they're upstairs, and I'm surprised they haven't killed themselves or killed each other while we were waiting for you guys. So
we've been waiting so long, she's actually fucked two of my friends.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, my. Bill's out. Look at Bill. He can't handle it. Bill's leaving. He can't handle it.
I knew this was going to make Bill uncomfortable.
No. First of all, you guys are so evolved that you can even talk about it like this. But all right, continue, because I'm on the edge of my seat.
If I can interject real quick too, and this isn't anything bad, but like we do have two kids, young kids, and you have really faced the brunt of the quarantine with them. So for the last year, you've been working from home and we kept our kids home for the majority of the pandemic. So not only were we not able to interact with any adults whatsoever besides each other, you were also with two children, 8-year-old and a 5-year-old, 24/7.
Okay, Joseph, you're already way too understanding. All right, Michelle, continue the story, please.
He's the best, isn't he? Like,
I understand the headspace there because I was able to get out and I wasn't like going and whining and dining people or anything, but at least I had other human interaction. Whereas, like, I can see how you're craving something. That isn't being completely delivered
Michelle,
at that point.
Michelle, continue, please.
So I started to have these feelings like, what if? Like, life is so short. Like, we are going to be together forever. Like, I was just curious. And so I actually approached him and we had many, many conversations about it. He was a little hesitant at first, understandably, because I'm great and he didn't want to lose
And I think it goes without saying I'm much better looking than this other person.
I'm sorry. Bill is now hiding under a Ted Lasso flag. All right, go ahead. Oh, wait. So
by the way, when you say you approached him, you mean Jack. Great.
He asked. Yeah. Oh, this is a different, takes a turn. You asked permission from Joe to experiment. Okay.
Yes. I said, I have these feelings and like, I was going to put myself out there and ask this other person and they could possibly say, what are you crazy? Like, why would I do that? So after many talks, we said yes. And like just open communication about the whole thing. So I asked the other person and he's like, heck yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could have predicted about this whole thing. So I asked this other guy, I'm like, would you be interested in kind of no strings attached hookup? And you're not going to believe this, you know, me being attractive. Yes. And she said, yeah. I'm like, no.
Now, wait, Joseph, this is your friend too. So did you and he talk it out? Like, I'm going to give you permission to have sex with my wife?
You know, we have like an unspoken bond, I feel like. Like, I've known this guy for a long, long time. And this sounds really weird, but I think of him as more of like a brother. So maybe that gets into a weird family tree as a wreath type of situation here. But
I mean, it was,
we made Bill Lawrence uncomfortable.
You did. But by the way, this is going to be in Ted Lasso season 3. So you
can tell you. Don't worry about it.
All right. So continue. How did it go down? I mean, you don't have to tell us.
Wait, no, whoa. Yeah,
but,
come on, bro.
No, you don't have to be graphic, but tell us.
There will not be details. So
no, don't details, but I'm saying without telling us details, how did the night itself go down? Like, how does it happen?
And I'm more interested in the aftermath too, of it too. Yeah, okay.
All right.
Like, was Joseph in the house? Did Joseph go out for beers? Like, what happened?
So let me preface this by saying that this friend comes over every week still. He was just up last night. We stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning listening to music and just hanging out. Like, has not affected the friendship whatsoever. So basically the arrangement is every other week I go over to our friend's house. He's single. I go over there. We hang out, do whatever. and then I come home and
It's an ongoing thing.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so I have a question. Are you guys, an obvious question. Are you guys perhaps swingers? I mean, that's a very common thing.
No, before this, like if anyone were to like find out, and a few people know, but not many, but like I am, as he said, we have very Midwestern sensibilities. Like we grew up very traditionally and like, this is not anything that was ever in the ballpark.
But I feel like as we got older, like we kind of matured, you know, like sexually and everything. Like we got more experimental and stuff. And like, we've been together for 17 years. So like, you know.
Now, Joseph, Joseph, the obvious question is, are you allowed to
Joseph, is it a two-way street? Are you allowed to do that? And is there a way that Zach, Donald, and I can make that happen for you? No, I'm joking.
Well, now I find out that I'm allowed to, but
you never asked before if you could.
Joseph, you never thought to ask, okay, I'm going to do this which most men, I am assuming, or couldn't do. But you never thought to ask, will I be allowed the same luxury?
We did talk about that.
That's part of the conversation, and he does have permission. I don't have any really good friends he would want
to. Oh, it has to be somebody.
Imagine how that works out.
It has to be somebody that you guys both know, is what you're saying. It can't be just some rando.
I mean, it could if he wanted to. I would want to know who it is and be open about it. I don't think that this would evolve into like just meeting somebody in a back alley. But we've got some people that he has crushed out.
We've got our eye on a couple people. No, not really.
Zach, where's Flo? You know?
Let's all take a deep breath.
Shit.
Hey, let's all take a deep breath.
Got interesting people.
Okay. No, wait. So I'm speechless, but we've all seen, those of us who aren't swingers have seen documentaries and stuff on TV. And this seems to me an open sort of relationship where there's a bit of an agreement. And I just wonder if that's what you guys have segued into. It sounds like it to me, right? Or no?
I mean, it's a fairly recent development, like the past couple of months. And part of it is the experimentation. Part of it is the person, you know, the friend, I would never, at this point, at least, to be like, hey, I met somebody, you know, I've known them for a month, like, I'm going to go off and do this thing with them. Like, there is still that very deep friendship with this person who I'm very good friends with, too. So it's just like, it's totally a friends with benefits type of situation.
And Joe, you're able to still see him and be like, hey, man, how you doing?
Yeah. I mean, it really hasn't changed our relationship. You know, like we've always been close. In fact, when you mentioned it, that you wanted to do this, I was like, do you want me there?
Yeah.
Is this like an invitation?
And would you have wanted to have been there if she said yes?
I mean, maybe for moral support, more so than anything else. like a high five, I guess.
Oh my God.
I do not understand this generation. I don't understand this generation.
Well, this is a very rare, I mean, I don't mean, listen, I don't know anything about this kind of world. I certainly could not handle this. I know you two couldn't handle this.
The only way, the only way that anyone would hear the story of me hooking up with my wife's friend would be on Dateline. They would be trying to figure out what happened to Bill Lawrence. Yeah. And then at the end, They would go, why is all the carpeting removed from Krista's car trunk? And why is there bleach everywhere?
I'm just too jealous. I'm just too jealous. And I would just get in my head about it. Even if I was allowed to do the same thing, I think I'm just too jealous for that kind of thing.
Well, you guys seem to communicate in ways that young couples often don't, which is fairly impressive. But have you never been a jealous guy before in your life? Are you not a jealous person?
I only recently got hot. So confident. So
I don't see myself as like a typical alpha male type of guy. And like when this whole topic was broached, there was my gut reaction was like, I should be really pissed off about this because that's what guys do in this situation.
Yeah, those are gender norms or whatever, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, well, how much of that is my actual feeling and how much is it what I'm supposed to do? And we talked about this and I was like, people like in movies, people end relationships over this. Like people kill each other over things like this. But it's like, other than the shock of first hearing it, I was like, it's fine. It's just sex, you know, like, that's all it is.
But I mean, the human heart is fragile.
You have to be very confident that you're not being
very
emotionally
confident,
cheated on.
Yeah. I mean,
My
fear would be, Joseph, that, you know, the obvious that she would start to develop more feelings for him or that they're having better sex or, you know, I would just.
Now that you bring that up, I think I do have a couple questions.
I don't want to ruin your guys' situation.
No, I'm joking. We talked about all that, you know, and a lot of it came down to what my initial objections were all about me, how it made me feel. And it became more of like, I didn't want this because of my own ego. And you had told me, like, this is completely not about you. This is about me, as in you. Mm-hmm. Once I understood that it wasn't like I was, or you were missing something from me. It was something that you were giving to yourself. Mm-hmm. I guess I understood it better.
Yeah. And I will say, like, through all of this, like, I feel like our relationship has gotten deeper on another level. Like there's this trust that we have and we've always had it, but like the fact that you were able to take a step back from yourself and, you know, see what I wanted. And I have always been a giver. Like I take care of our kids endlessly. I take care of everything. I think like he would be dead if I left is part of his
I'm very reliant.
Well, I will say that, you know, it seems that it could help prolong. I mean, on the plus side of it, it could be prolong your relationship because you clearly love each other very much and you don't want to. There's not that desire to be unfaithful because it's all out in the open. You've spoken about it. I mean, that would. I don't know, man. My lungs got tight thinking about it. Donald, what do you have to say about this?
You know, I feel like if it's what if you guys have come to an agreement and you both are understanding, you know, who is anybody to judge? You know what I mean? This is your life. This is your marriage. What makes you happy is what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. And so, absolutely, if this is something you guys are both agreeing on, that you both agree on, go for yours, man. Yeah. I will say this. My wife would fucking murder me if I stepped to her and was like, yo, so let me just say this. I'm doing a show with this girl, and
she's really great. She's the good news is she's great.
She's great. Right. She's awesome. I might just have Krista listen to this episode of the podcast and just be like, listen to how happy this couple sounds. I mean, I'm not pointing in any direction.
Honestly, one of the things that like made me really excited to come on here is like, this is a new thing for us. And like, we talk about it, like it's, you know, it's evolving and like, you know, I feel really good about it, but you don't hear people talk about this stuff. And, you know, if someone listens to this and be like, hey, like, this is a good example, like it can work because like you said, in movies and in shows, you know, the best friend sleeps with the wife and then things fall apart.
I don't think what you guys are doing is out of the, is unordinary. No. There's a whole bunch of people that live this way.
There's right. So many different strokes for different folks nowadays.
Yeah. Of course, but also another thing is you didn't do it you didn't cheat. You spoke about
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
And you came to an agreement without, you know, going behind the other person's back, which betrayal is so horrible, such a horrible mm-hmm. feeling. So you didn't betray each other. You were open about it, and it just so happens you married a man who was open to it. That is a different thing.
Means you're probably a good match, you two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I do feel like Joseph should have his chance, though, but I don't want to fuck anything
he
up.
He can. Okay. He absolutely can. We have joked about
so
that.
So Joseph, look through her, look through all her friend photographs.
Oh boy.
Zach, can you say? Can you say?
I have so few friends.
Can you say automatic return guest visit when if Joseph ever
yes,
has his opportunity?
Absolutely.
Oh man!
Yeah, let me know
y'all. Some motivation.
Listen. You know how much stress that's just put on me.
Oh no! No.
Like, listen, I feel all over again.
This feels.
I feel like Chuck Woolery. If it happens for Joseph and he enjoys himself, we'd be willing to pay for him to go out with her second
yes.
class. is that how the dating game
absolutely
works?
Absolutely, go on a date if you guys pay for it.
This feels. It feels very. Fragile. I don't want to fuck up the thing you have going.
You guys have a pretty ecosystem going.
All right, I think Joseph should come back on. You should both come back on when Joseph has had his turn, and we'll check in.
Do you guys have any questions for us?
Or
we do. I totally forgot about the question portion of this episode.
Go ahead. Go ahead. We're going long, so maybe just do one question and then. Yep.
She's only got one, and it's a great question.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Zach and Donald, besides Scrubs, what is your favorite thing that the other person has been involved in, like a show, a movie, besides?
I'm not allowed to talk about what Zach's involved in that I really, really enjoy because it's.
Well, you can pick something else other than the top secret project. Okay. I guess I'm going to pick an obvious one. I'm sorry, but I know the joke on here is that it took me forever to watch Remember the Titans. But when I finally did, I was genuinely blown away by Donald's acting in the movie. I thought, you know, I know Donald mostly as a comedian, and I love him as a comedic actor. But and of course, he is some comic relief in the movie. But I just thought watching, I was so proud when I watched him go toe-to-toe with fucking Denzel Washington, probably one of the greatest, definitely one of the greatest living actors there is. And I was blown away by how good he was in that movie.
So when I first met Zach, you know, we joked that I didn't read Garden State, but there are some other scripts that two scripts that he gave me that I read that we won't talk about on the show. And I'm amazed. First of all, I'm amazed by how bright Zach is. Like when it comes to business and when it comes to creating things, he's, in my opinion, him and Bill are like, they freaking blow my mind every time. And the things that they think about and the angles that they, you know, come at things with always blows my mind. But Zach is an amazing storyteller. He's an amazing storyteller from writing it to directing it. He's amazing at it.
Thank you. Wait till you see Solos. You're going to be blown away.
No, I haven't watched it yet. I haven't watched it yet.
Did you guys watch it?
Was going to, but
thank you.
See, there we go. There we go.
Maybe you were waiting to jump on this call. We thought you should just shotgun it.
Maybe you can watch it when you're at what's his name's house.
Oh my god!
But I feel like I'm a very lucky person to have these two in my life because you know I'm getting to the point now where I am starting to create things and to know that I have two best friends that I can be like, yo, can you just look at this and just tell me if I'm headed in the right direction. Is a great comfort for me. So
wow, that was a good question, and we love you.
That was a good question. Great answers, man.
And we're going to work with Bill again one day on something because the three of us are a good trio.
There's a cool surprise one going now, Zach.
Yes, there's a top secret one that is in development. Donald probably doesn't even know how juicy it currently is. All right, listen. I think you might win best guest. This was amazing.
Do we want to fix their life?
Do they want us
to fix their life?
They don't need to fix it. They fixed each other's lives.
I feel like they fixed it already on their own.
The only thing they need fixed is that it's Joseph's turn to equal things out. That's the only thing. You guys, you're amazing guests. And I really, in all honesty, no joke, I'm so impressed with how mature you are about this and how you found a way to make your marriage exciting. And kudos to you. And Joelle, very good guest finding.
awesome guests, candid. And by the way, nobody gets to see people like we do. You can tell you guys really love each other. So it's it was fun talking to you.
And for the audience, you should know, just to make this even more bizarre, they're both very good looking.
Yeah, it's okay? Very upsetting.
I mean, these are fine looking people. All right. I thought we could end today with Josh Radin's song, because it's in the episode, Don't Look Away, which is a great song. And as you all know, we're only allowed to play songs of our friends, like the Charlotte Lawrence and the Josh Radin. But Donald, anything you want to say?
You know, I thought this was a great episode.
Very funny. Thank you, Bill.
I want to thank Bill for coming on the show for sure.
Oh, man, I missed it. And I got to see these two. This is awesome.
Michelle and Joseph. One love.
Zach, or Donald. Yeah, no. Michelle and Joseph are symbolic that they were here when I said, this is like your halfway point. And so to me, you guys, it's come back with, you know, look, as the owner and creator of this podcast, who made a great choice in hiring you guys originally, when Daniel, Joel, and I decided to go with Zach and Donald, one of the things talked about was going, if we're going to do this many episodes of this show, like right at the midway point, that's when you juice it up and add energy and kind of reinvigorate. I felt you guys doing it today, both with these guests. And that was very savvy to have. I mean, to have interrupting Bill when Bill was on.
That oh, my God. Call.
This is brilliant.
That was call. Funny. Joel, I don't know how we ever return from guests like these. Like, we got to have some insane story. The guests have to all have some insane story.
Yeah, now it's just got to be more and more crazy. This is awesome.
Okay, we invite you to send us your insane story.
Yes, if you have an insane story that can compete with these two, we really want to hear it. All right, thank you, everybody. Please check out Solos, Unlike My Three Best Friends on here.
Very good.
All you got to watch is the Anne Hathaway episode. It's 30 minutes long. I directed
and,
it.
And check out the Anne Hathaway thing of Solos and John Donald, because I'm going to watch. Is it called Wave or The Wave? You and Justin
The Wall. Wave.
The Wave.
The Wave.
Which is a feature film with our friend Donald Faison on it that my friend just watched and said it's great.
All right. And here is Josh Radin with Don't Look Away.
My eyes reflection, a window's perfection. Look and you see. If you do, then I may. No one knows truth, not even you.